I've been building an empire since just a side stream empire. All right, guys, welcome to part two of the Halloween extravaganza episode. Should this be 106.5 or 107? It's 107 because we got old and new business to discuss. There's shit happening. How you been, man?
Pretty good.
It's been about, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, about.
Since we pressed stop.
You walked over, grabbed another beer, came back.
I'm gonna have a few more. Look at this stack right here. Okay, that one's knocked out. That one's knocked out. And that one's knocked out.
You'll be able to make a suit of armor pretty soon.
Melt it down and burn some ants. Alright guys, welcome to Scary Dad Podcast episode 107, which is part 2 of our Halloween extravaganza. And if you look back through our history, you realize we're really not good at numbering things. So if it's a little bit confusing, this will be episode 335 of Scary Dad Podcast. Part 1 was 106 on October 22nd, but we fly around through the time machine.
Yeah, we crank it up every once in a while. And
sometimes we get far. All right, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. On this date, October 29th, 312 AD, Constantine the Great enters Rome after victory at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. His opponent, the defeated Maxentius's body, is fished out of the Tiber River and beheaded.
Wow, I'm not finished with you yet.
How badass are you when you're like, not only is that dude dead and sunk to the bottom of the river, but we're going to pull that bitch out of there and chop off his head. Like, that is... And you have to wonder, as far as like mistaken identity, sometimes like most people back then either had, you know, like long hair and beard or shaved hair. What, like nope, that's definitely him. Let's pull him out and stab him some more.
To the level of the biker gang from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. First we're going to drown him, then we're going to behead him, then we're going to kill him.
I saw we let him go. That movie is so great. Okay, let's see. This date in 1390 is the first trial for witchcraft in Paris, leading to the deaths of 3 people. What they don't say is, yeah, so this is witchcraft. And in our modern vernacular, we're like, oh, witchcraft just means like... What the hell were they doing?
Right.
What were they doing? Why did they get... Because, I mean, you think about it back... I mean, we got a large population now. But you've got in the city of Paris, like, several thousand or maybe possibly even tens of thousands of people living together in a city. 3 of them. What were they doing? What were they doing? Just saying. Gonna pull a little bit of a Deadman's Tome in this. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's possible
that something was going on.
That these 3 motherfuckers were messing with shit. Okay, on this date in 1618, Sir Walter Raleigh is beheaded for alleged treason against James I.
Second beheading of this new business. Oh, business.
Mm-hmm. Remember when we did our Evil Women episode?
Yeah.
I don't know if this was on it. But it's pretty hardcore if it wasn't. In 1901, Nurse Jean Toppin of Massachusetts is arrested for murdering the Davis family with morphine. The Davis family. Like, all of them, like... Come here. Have some morphine and knock you down. It's pretty rough. If she wasn't on the show, she deserves to
be. Yeah, she should have been.
Okay, on this date in 1960, boxer Cassius Clay wins his first pro fight.
Is mama call him Clay? Mama call him Clay. later to be known as Muhammad Ali.
Who is arguably the greatest fighter in history.
Yep.
What do you think about all those people that are like, okay, could Ali take Tyson? Could any of those... I mean, because really, if you think about it, it's like... You got Foreman, Ali, Tyson, you know, on down the line. It's like everybody's always matching these guys up. I believe that Mike Tyson wouldn't exist if Ali hadn't done what he did. Like, he might have been somebody, but boxing evolved specifically to beat Muhammad Ali.
Right. Yeah, boxing was big, but Muhammad Ali was bigger.
And Muhammad Ali had his technique, and he had his strategy. Mm-hmm. And he had the way that he was able to do things. And even Foreman learned from that. Like, he got his ass beat by Ali and learned from that and came back, you know. But honest engine, who would have won, Ali or Tyson?
As a former really deep, heavy boxing fan, Tyson in his prime would have took him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Take him quick, take him hard.
Probably wouldn't be quick, but he would have took him. Tyson could take a punch better than anybody. And the thing about it is, Tyson was the type where he could take a punch and he still had all that reserve with his punch where he just needed one opening and that's it. Once he got that one opening, he was like a raging bull. That's what I used to compare. That's why I had the raging bull tattoo right here, is his style of fighting. He just needs one opening and that's it. So just my opinion,
hey,
Tyson in his prime would have took Ali.
I kind of agree.
He was unstoppable, man.
Ali was again more technique. I mean, he was certainly awesome. But like you say, the Raging Bull. Like,
oh, yeah.
There was kind of a difference in training and style that Tyson really capitalized on.
He was a machine. He's dude. Like,
if you blink, I'm gonna hit you 40 times and hit you really hard once and then knock you down. And
he was a machine, man. He was a smart boxer. He knew when to wait for his opening. Like I said, he could take plenty of punches and just wait you out, and that would be it. Dude, I was watching an old K-1 fight. I don't know if you know who Bob Sapp is, but Bob Sapp was this fighter. He left to go to Japan and became like a huge icon in Japan, but. We're talking about K-1 fighting didn't have like weight classes and shit. It just threw two people in the ring. You can kick, you can punch, do whatever you want. And in walks Bob Sapp, who's like 6'4", 350 pounds of just a mountain of a man. And he would just overpower people, dude. I mean, he would take punches like crazy, but he just needed that one opening. And once he got it, and what's funny is... His punches, you could see him coming from a mile away, but he just needed to connect one time because he was just a mountain of a man.
So strong.
Yeah, I'm going to show you some Bob Sapp videos because, you know, there's this one fight where he broke Sapp's rib, but he just hung in there and this guy just kept kicking him. And you could see where he kept kicking him in his thigh over and over again. You could see he was at a point where he just had a Charlie horse that he could barely walk around the ring, but he just waited for that one moment to get that huge haymaker in. Took him out. I used to watch a lot of boxing back in the day, dude.
All right, man, on this date in 1971, rocker Dwayne Allman was killed in a motorcycle accident. Obviously, forever changing the Allman Brothers.
Right.
Now into notable births. Not necessarily happy birthday, but just one of those things. We're a horror podcast sometimes when we're not just laughing at shit, but, you know, we are ostensibly a horror podcast. On this date in 1897, Nazi propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels was born.
It's a pretty horrific part of history right there. Just real quick, back to the dead rocker thing. I was listening to the Trailer Park Boys podcast, which I listen to the Trailer Park Boys podcast because I love them. But they were talking about, remember when Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and Big Bopper died?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the coin toss for the seat that Richie Valens... Who was that coin toss against?
Waylon Jennings.
It was Waylon Jennings. Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they had to have haunted him for his whole life.
I think he did an interview closer when he was older that said that it did. Because it went to Richie Valens.
Right. And, you know, if it wasn't for that coin toss, if Richie Valens would have said, I'll just go ahead and I'll take the bus or something, and would have volunteered it, he'd be dead, man. It's that's got to haunt you. And realize, you know, you're alive because this guy died.
Yeah, you're in a bus with no AC, just being like, oh, I gave up my seat. It's, yeah, the day the music died.
Yep.
On this date in 1942, Bob Ross was born.
Your doppelganger.
Serious, dude. My daughter pulls a picture out of her backpack. Yesterday was like the worst day ever with customers, with work. My computer was slow. My phone was slow. Everything was slow. The whole day was shitty. Everything was bad. I had to get gas. I go to the pump, and they wouldn't take my card. Not because my card is bad, but because whenever I slide my card in, for whatever reason, like, the reader was not reading it. So I had to, like, drive down the street and get gas somewhere else. That was, like, that one of those days. I get home. My daughter pulls out a picture. She's like, Daddy, I drew a picture of you. I want to hang it up. I'm like, okay. Get a magnet and put it on the fridge. She's like, no, I want to hang it in your office. I was like, don't put more tape on my walls. Please. I'm like, oh, fine. Just go tape it up. And so, I recovered, by the way. This morning, I get up, get the kids off to school, go sit down in my office, look at the wall, and there's Bob Ross looking back at me.
With a long gimp arm.
He's got his Plastic Man arm kicking it. I was like, am I putting off a Bob Ross vibe or something? But it is pretty cool. But happy birthday to Bob Ross. 1947, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. Mashed Potato Man.
Great actor, but from what I hear, a pain in the ass to work with.
It's one of those weird things. Like, I don't get... There's a lot of really famous actors who went from really famous actor to, like, slinging pizza. How do certain ones just kind of hang? You're like, hi, I was in one hit movie and now I'm an asshole and everybody respects me. Other people are like, well, I was in four hit movies and kind of an asshole and now I'm scrubbing toilets.
Right.
Like, I don't get Hollywood. Hollywood's weird.
Yeah.
But he's one of those that should have just, like...
But he didn't.
Remember Charlie's Angels?
Of course.
Happy birthday to Kate Jackson.
Okay.
No Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Dan Castellanella. Castellanella.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't do that right. It's a hard name to say. Yeah. Happy birthday, Dan.
Of Homer Simpson fame.
You ever watch American Idol?
I have in the past, but I haven't watched it in a long time.
Happy birthday to Randy Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Randy. Coined the phrase... It's a no for me, dog. Which is exactly what anybody who's listening to this show right now is thinking about whether we're not going to be on their podcast network. Nah. All right. And then happy birthday to my first teenage crush, Winona Ryder. Not specifically Winona Ryder as much as Lydia Deetz, but still.
Okay, still.
For Halloween episode, Beetlejuice reference, Winona Ryder. Hey, man. She's on Stranger Things. She still got it.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, and we talked about it earlier. Notable deaths on this date in 1971. Dwayne Allman.
Okay.
Also, 1911, Joseph Pulitzer died.
Of Pulitzer Prize fame?
Yeah, but that's not relevant anymore. No. They give that to pretty much anybody who shows up.
It's a popularity contest.
Like, people who still read newspapers.
It's a feel-good award now.
Yeah. All right. So we're continuing our shout-out episode to all of our friends. Who would have thought whenever we sat down to start the Scary Dead podcast that 2 years later we'd have like a double episode on just people we've met and
right.
become friends with?
Cool people.
Think of all the friends, though. Think of all the people we've met that we haven't become friends with.
Yeah. There are plenty. We're probably missing some people, too, with that list. But
all right. You talked about Houston. You talked about Randy. You talked about Mike. You want to
get in some new business?
I'm just scratching.
Okay.
So, the way this is going to work, because I meant to say this before I started looking at my paper. The continuation from last week goes into our friends. Then we're going to talk about a bunch of movies and comics and toys and stuff.
Halloween stuff.
So stay tuned and we will be right back.
The shape. The face. The town. The night. 10 years later. He's back. No! Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, rated R.
Starts Friday, the theater or driving near you.
Let's go ahead and get into it.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. Okay, you know how I've told you before about how my old neighborhood on their Facebook group page is just insanity? And I think I've mentioned to you also about how seriously they're taking the current mud board election. This is how bad it's gotten. This is no bullshit, dude. There are a group of people that are hell-bent on removing the current mud board. Okay, this is a volunteer position. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. You know, it's pretty straightforward work. It's not like you're changing laws and shit. There are three candidates running to replace three candidates on the mud board right now. It has gotten to the point where people have made fake websites in the names of the candidates. One of the candidates is currently running, and they found an arrest record of his from when he was like 19 years old, and has actually made a website showing this arrest that he had for stealing a payphone when he was 19. Wait, it goes further than that. Then they made fake Facebook accounts, joined the neighborhood Facebook page, and started posting links to this website for a mud board election. It is insane. And there are actually people that, apparently whoever made the website hid the proxy and everything. There are people that are going through each line of code for the website, trying to find hints as to who it was that put this website up. Somebody found an admin section in this code where it says the admin was working at the company that candidate works for. So now they're accusing him of making a website on himself to try to garner sympathy and get votes for a mud board election, dude. There are groups of people that are picking up the proxy votes to make sure every vote is counted. And then there's another big to-do about it where people were going to get replacement proxies, and the person at the mud board would tell them, oh, just leave it with me and we'll get it filled out and turned in for you. So now there's accusations that the current board is stealing votes from people, but dude, for a mud board election.
For our friends who are not local, what does mud stand for?
Municipal Utility District.
And what is essentially that? That is water and sewer.
Yes. And they handle stuff like parks, and this particular mud board also handles the extra security and shit like that, which is what started the whole to-do about replacing the board is because the current board wanted to change security contracts from the sheriff's department to the constable's department, and that's people freaked the fuck out. There's no money in it. You don't get paid. It's totally volunteer service. It is just it's crazy, man.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the state of affairs at Pecan Grove, Texas, right now. All right.
No way. That sucks, dude.
It's been entertaining, to say the least.
Oh, no, it's entertaining.
Okay, some old videos recently emerged and popped up on YouTube from the International Space Station live feed that someone found. And they're saying that NASA is lying about an object that was caught on this live feed. And I want you to see this. It's a mystery object that NASA is saying, oh, that's just something that was down on land. But you can see this looks like a spacecraft, has 90-degree angles on the corners. This was caught. You can watch the video where it shows the camera kind of panning over. This pops up in the frame, and then they pan back over. It's not seen again. But yeah, there's a big conspiracy theory online right now saying that NASA is hiding the fact that they actually caught a alien spacecraft on the International Space Station feed flying above Earth. Now, NASA is saying that's just an object that's actually on land. If that's the case, it's a big-ass object. It's all it is.
Yeah.
Freaking huge.
Because you can't see the Great Wall of China from space, like
but
they
you
say.
You can see this obvious man-made thing, or alien-made, whatever it may be. But yeah, so that's the big conspiracy thing right now with NASA. They're wondering what's going on with that. Okay, some scientists in Australia, including one American scientist is working there, they're currently in works of cloning extinct animals using genetic research. And right now, they're about to clone some carrier pigeons, which have been extinct since, I think, 1914 or something. Yes, since 1914. But there's a group of pigeons that are currently carrying the genetic code for passenger pigeons, and they're going to breed those and see if they can actually bring some back to life, which is pretty cool when you think about all the extinct animals that... that can be brought back,
mm-hmm.
just with a little genetic code and finding something that can mock the code similarly, and with selective breeding and gene splicing, you can might have a woolly mammoth walking around here pretty soon. So we'll keep following this and see if it's successful for them. Okay, Hurricane Michael passed, by the way, so Florida residents are heading back. And recently at an airport, I think we talked about emotional support animals recently.
Yeah.
But a woman was kicked off of a flight in Florida recently because they wouldn't let her fly with her emotional support squirrel. She had apparently purchased a ticket for her emotional support pet. And when she got to the airport, that's when she said, "Oh, it's a squirrel." And they said, "We have a no rodent policy on this airline. You cannot be on the plane with a squirrel." Woman refused to leave. They had to deboard everybody and bring the police on. And it's hilarious because the picture they have released is this woman being wheeled in a luggage cart because she refused to walk. So the cops dumped her in a luggage cart and started wheeling her out. That's her squirrel in the bag right here. And to the jeers of the other passengers as she was like brought down through the terminal, she was just flipping everybody off and telling them to go to hell because she wanted to fly with her emotional support squirrel.
I have to wonder sometimes if a lot of this isn't just like, it's got to be theater. It can't
it's
be.
People wanting attention for shit, man. Because the peacock was the worst one. Really? An emotional support peacock is what you need in order to be able to fly. If you need that to be able to fly, you should drive.
Yeah. what I mean is I think sometimes it's that whole like fake news idea. It's like, really, is that what really happened, or did somebody just be like, "I'm gonna see how far I can take this"?
Right.
So I was like, "Do you see this the emotional support peacock?" And that chick's like, "Hold my beer. Let's see if I can get on the news real quick."
But that's it for me.
All right. We'll come back, we'll finish our shout-outs, and get into some
Talk
movies.
About some weird stuff.
You know who to call when you have ghosts. But who do you call when you have monsters?
We're the Monster Squad.
What's a squad? It's like Miami Vice, I think.
They're young and inexperienced.
Naughty virgin!
They're a bit disorganized.
Monsters are not real.
We don't know that, sir.
2,000-year-old dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves.
But when strange things start happening in town...
There's a monster in my closet.
Ooh! Look at that big, scary monster!
What's happening?
You wait until a werewolf.
Silver bullet?
They're the only ones ready to do battle.
Something's out there that's killing people. And if it's monsters, nobody's gonna do a thing about it but us.
Soon the creatures of the night shall rule the world.
midnight. End world, remember? Maybe we can be like Mask Squad and Stygia. Do math bombs.
We got a 1035. Stitch back up. Hurry up.
We'll meet your squad. The book is right. Don't you see it's all true?
By midnight.
You guys.
They won't seem so young anymore.
Kick him in the nose! It's a tumor! Do it, do it!
The Monster Squad.
Wolfman's gone mad!
What's rising out of the pumpkin patch this Halloween? The Pumpkin Cutter, a great way to let your kids carve their own pumpkins without sharp edges that cut little hands. It even makes toothy grins easy to do. The Pumpkin Scoop removes seeds and pulp better than any spoon. And the Pumpkin Light replaces dangerous candles with glowing results. Have a great pumpkin this Halloween with the Pumpkin Cutter, Pumpkin Scoop, and Pumpkin Light. Pumpkin Cutter products available at Long's Drugs and Safeway.
All right, I hope that that sponsor advertisement was comforting. Now we're going to finish our Halloween episode. That was one long-ass episode.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
For the listeners, it's two somewhat long-ass episodes, but for us, it's one long-ass episode with a whole bunch of stuff cut in between.
With this one, we might give a little break and go a little bit short, but we'll see.
Nah, not us. All right, top of the show, I want to give a big shout-out to Ricky Morgan, podcaster extraordinaire. I don't have enough fingers on one hand to name the different podcasts he's got Under My Wheels, he's got House of Wax, he's got Short Bus, he's got Hail Ming, he was on the ABCs, he was on the podcast Under the Stairs. He's got so many podcasts. I did one with him, the 80s podcast.
What's most impressive about that is not just the number of podcasts, but how well done each one of them is. That's some work involved in those, man.
Dude sent me a video last night of him playing drums in a band. They're playing Double Vision by Foreigner.
Uh-huh.
And Ricky's in the background playing drums and singing the song, and his fills are better than the originals. Like, it's just like brr, brr, brr. I'm like, Jesus, dude, do you ever sleep? Like, how is it possible for a dude to be that talented?
Right.
But
he's good at what he does.
Love that dude. Reach out. We'll do a fresh eyes. We'll do a couple fresh eyes with Rick this next year. Talk about some good old horror movies. I've been really enjoying the Fresh Eyes format. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's been fun. So looking for the next one. Look forward to the next one. And we definitely do the fly for the next one.
All right. Christine and James Nix. They're a little quiet over there, but they're always there.
And they're always cool, and they're always so sweet.
The stuff they make is awesome.
Yeah. Very unique.
Thanks for being a part of the show. Thanks for coming out and vending with us.
Look up Space Cowgirl on Facebook. And you can
Sci-Fi Cowgirl.
Sci-Fi Cowgirl, yep.
I thought I was the one that was drinking too much, dude. All right, let's see here. He's going to be pissed if I don't mention him. But Christopher Jordan, the Dudes of Beer podcast.
Yeah, I'd already thought about him. I finally met his brother Randy. He was a really, really great guy.
Dude, that mofo won tickets to Alamo last night. Did you see that too?
Yeah, I think I told you. We were outside, and he recognized me by my voice from listening to the podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, I had Minion 1 and Minion 2 drawn names out of the hat, and pretty freaking killer.
Which we need to get with Alamo, too, about that Halloween showing.
I'll reach out to her tomorrow. This week has been a bear, but I'll get to it. But yeah, Dudes and Beer and the HC Universal podcast network. My buddy since high school. Haven't seen him much. He's been on the road. He's been keeping it hot. He's been in Vegas. Yeah, he's been in D.C. I think he's in Iowa now.
He's hustling, man.
He's got a kid to raise these days.
Yeah.
So instead, he flies around in different states. Sorry, dude. All right, let's see here. We can't go much further without mentioning Texas Frightmare Weekend.
And Lloyd Cryer.
And how much they've inspired us. How much we're coming for you. We would love to have even half of what you've got as far as not even market share, but just the love that everybody has for the event that you make.
Yep.
If we can throw an event,
it's a beautiful thing when you look at it. It's not just a convention. It's almost a movement. It's weird. It's to me, it's just so much more of a experience than a normal con.
It really is. It's phenomenal. You know, when you go out at night, it's like you do not meet a stranger there.
Right.
Like whether you're on the bus, in an elevator, in a hallway.
Just everybody's just having a good time and like a big family.
And he made that, and that's what we want to make. And it is.
And we want to continue to be a part of his too. Oh, if he's got more guest announcements coming up. I don't know if he's. I've been trying to figure out some of the hints he's been giving out as far as the upcoming guest announcements. The one is a Rest in Hell. I've been trying to figure that one out forever since he put it up. But the clue is just Rest in Hell. Any idea? I've been trying to figure out a movie where somebody, you know, went to hell and rest in hell. And I can't figure out what that one is. But, yeah, Texas Frightmare Weekend is just a one-of-a-kind thing.
It really is amazing. And thank you guys for letting us be a part of the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I emailed
them a couple days ago to see what was going on and let them know we were going to start doing some promotions for them and stuff. And
now this one's a little off topic because it doesn't involve Scott over here but it is kind of the way that I met Johnny. Like I started writing, I've always written stuff, but I started writing seriously back in January. I joined a couple podcast groups or a couple writers groups. The No Sleep Podcast Book Club is one. That's where I met Johnny Stitches from Sirenicide. But I want to give a shout out to Adam Davies out at the Sinister Showcase. These guys, it's kind of just a group of writers who've come together. They're finding, like, one of the things that you find, the internet does not respect property rights. So, and even, not even property rights, but just intellectual property. It's like, there's a lot of people, it's like, I might play a song by a band, like, I might post an Oingo Boingo song at the end of the show. Yeah, I didn't pay for that. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wrote it and that it's mine.
Right.
But as a lot of writers, fortunately, I haven't had this problem, but a lot of these other guys have. There's a lot of, like, you Google yourself, here's the thing. You take a chunk of story, you throw it into a plagiarism gonculator, and it'll spit out all of the YouTube videos that are stealing your shit and claiming it as your own. As their own. And a lot of those are monetized, and they're making money.
Yeah, they make money off of your stuff.
Off of your stuff. The Sinister Showcase and the No Sleep Author Alliance have come together, and they've been figuring out a lot of ways to, like, kind of combat that. And instead of just like bringing the hammer down on people, they're actually getting the writers and the narrators and the people who were kind of sitting around in the dark figuring stuff out, coming to terms. And if not, then they get the band hammer on them, mm-hmm. which is pretty neat. But Adam over at the Sinister Showcase, he started it in the No Sleep Author Alliance. He really has done a lot for independent writers to keep their stuff from being stolen. Because you've seen how much, like, not even writing, you've seen how much, like, you see some independent somebody make a horror mask, and then it gets stolen by Spirit.
Right.
So it's nationwide.
Look at all the artwork theft that goes on right now. It's unreal. Somebody was posting about it the other day about, you know, you see those suggested things on your Facebook feed where, you know, it'll be like a shirt with some artwork on it. Those are coming out of China, and they're just finding people's artwork online, printing it, and there's no repercussions for them. And
yeah.
You know, they're selling, you know, 100,000 units of somebody else's artwork. And it's just cheap Chinese knockoffs.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. And then we're going to talk about the Nerdfest group,
yes.
Which is seems to have spiraled out of control. It's now multiple groups.
Yeah, they've kind of branched off into specialized groups coming from some of the people involved within Nerdfest. Not in a bad way.
No, but just we can't give shout-outs to all of their branches because there's actually quite a few of them recently.
Well, one of the things I love about Nerdfest is the people that kind of formed it met at our first Halloween show. They networked there and kind of took it from there and ran with it. But they have a Comic-Con coming up in December also, so it's one thing to look. We'll talk about that some more later.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, Mr. James, he's a go-getter, man.
He's always at every show. He supports the whole community, so I got to give him props for that for sure. Good guy.
Definitely. And last but not least, for work on our website, for work on our posters.
For being a good friend.
For just being a good friend.
Supporting us, coming out to the show. Rad Reekin himself. Tony Martinez of the Rad Toy Collector Show. And he's actually got a podcast now, too. You go on iTunes, look up the Rad Toy Collector Show, and check Tony out. He loves toys.
He's got a lot fan. Of good ones.
Oh, yeah.
And according to Facebook, and this, of course, we're recording this a little bit early, but his son just got into
the gifted program.
Yep. Is doing really well with
he's a good kid. I've hung out with him several times and everything. His son's a really, really good kid. Enjoy talking to him.
Awesome, man. Well, who knew? Well, I mean, I knew because there's probably a lot we left out. But who knew that our just shout-out episode, just saying hey to people we've met. It's like Mr. Rogers almost, like, hey there, would take up an entire episode and part of another. But as we're going into Halloween this week, I've got a huge party. Well, I had a huge party 2 days ago. That's why I'm so messed up in the head. Got trick-or-treating with the kids on Wednesday. And then it's time to, like, wipe the slate clean and get ready for the next Halloween. So on the 29th, when you're a couple days out of Halloween, what is it that you're doing?
Working. Working and probably trying to finalize a costume. To figure out exactly what I'm going to dress up as.
What do you think your costume's going to be?
I don't know. I'm sure Amy's going to want to couple it up. So, got to kind of leave it up to her and see where we're going to go with it. But I'll come up with something. You know me. And it'll be fun.
She coming out as well?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I got my costume. My suit's at the Claters. Excuse me. Right now, getting washed. Hopefully they can get the blood out of it. Got the trick-or-treaters coming in on Halloween. Really, I'm just kind of coasting into the rest of it, man. It's been one hell of a year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm expecting next year to be even busier.
It's gone so fast, though, man. This year has just flown by.
It really has. So I'm just kind of leaning into the Halloween movies. And by Halloween, I mean literally the starting the in Halloween 1978. Movies.
Yeah.
I've got most of them either on VHS or DVD.
Okay.
But for me, the original Halloween, the pretty much the queen mother of all slasher films.
Yeah.
1978.
The most well done, for sure, especially for its time. It's just a... It's one of the best horror movies ever made, period.
Low budget, unknown, pretty much everybody, except for Donald Pleasance. Donald Pleasance was like the one guy they could get in there because he'd, you know, he'd done some stuff before. But turn this little stalker screenplay into... I mean, that's what spawned Friday the 13th. It's what spawned Nightmare on Elm Street. It spawned every slasher movie, really, that's come after it. I heard it described by Kat at the Boys and Goals podcast as a waltz. Just perfectly timed and exquisite. And you're like, well, how is an independent film shot in summer in California that's supposed to be in the fall in Illinois? But there's just something about it. It's just the music, the camera angles, the lighting, the dread.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no gore there. I don't think there's a single drop of blood in the entire movie.
It's just a scary movie.
But
it's effective.
It's so frightening. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, but I remember the first time I ever really actually watched it. I was probably in my like late teens or early 20s. And I watched that movie, and I went outside to smoke a cigarette, and I sat there and looked across the street at the houses with the porch lights on. And I thought, man, he could be in any single one of those. And I got this kind of chill down my spine. Like,
right.
You never know what's going on behind the closed doors.
Those are the scariest movies, man.
And it stuck with me for days. Like, I'd seen the movie a couple times. It kills the dog. Oh, no. No. What's most frightening about it is that it could be behind any door.
Yeah.
And coming in your back door, actually, because he does that.
It's unstoppable. You know, there's nothing you can do to stop him. It's like a great white shark type slasher.
Except you don't have to be in the water to get bit.
Yeah.
So how many of the Halloween sequels have you actually seen?
I've seen the first three, which three really isn't a sequel to Halloween, but H2O and, of course, the remakes by Rob Zombie, one and two.
I think I saw part six in the theater. It's just a...
If I have seen them, I don't remember them. So it's possible that I did see him in passing, but nothing that I...
Yeah,
I
didn't say
see it twice.
I'm going to say 1 through 3, and then the Rob Zombie remakes.
When I was a kid, Season of the Witch used to come on TV and stuff, and I used to love... That movie used to creep me out. It was just... Because it involved kids and their Halloween mask and everything, I guess I just kind of gravitated towards it. I enjoyed that movie a lot.
I like how they stole, like, part of Stonehenge. Like, how do you steal part of Stonehenge and then, like... move it to like rural Pennsylvania or whatever it was they were, like New Jersey. It's like, man, you had to get that stone on a boat and move it. But then again, how do they get the fucking stones to Stonehenge?
Right.
It's a mystery.
They use Carl Castle technology to go ahead and move it.
Right. Think about aliens sometimes. And like they come down, because of course aliens, they move in different time zones than we do. So they come down, they're like, hey, look at all those people moving shit with their mind. Then a few hundred years later, like, look at all those people moving stuff with wheels.
What happened?
Must have forgotten something.
Joe Rogan has a good bit that he does on that theory that maybe back when the pyramids were built, civilizations were just so advanced that people could move stuff with their minds and everything, and they were so smart and brilliant and so wrapped up in their own self-learning and knowledge that they stopped breeding, and only the dumb ones were left. And we're the offspring of the bastard stone workers of ancient Egyptian times.
You know, that is absolutely, positively, 100% true. He was making a joke.
Yeah.
But read this thing not too long ago that was talking about like how if you put the marker at 200 years ago, So the Earth has been here for however many billions of years, and mankind's been on it for however many millions of years. But then, like, humans have been around for, like, a couple hundred thousand, maybe 20,000 of recorded history with a bunch of chiseled rocks before that. Up until about 200 years ago, we just struggled to survive most of the time. Like, yeah, of course, we had governments and we had societies and we had shit, but...
You're on your own, pretty much.
But, like, in the last, like, 100 years or so, like, global poverty has dropped to where, like, they say, you know, it's like, basically, the poorest among us now live better than kings did 200 or 300 years ago.
Not, look at the poor in this country. They have vehicles.
Well, not just us.
Yeah, just worldwide.
Like, worldwide. Global poverty used to be at, like, a 90 percentile. Now it's, like, in a 10 percentile. And you're like, well, there's people in... There's globally, there's people who are shittily poor. And you're right, there are. But the number of them and the shit that they have to deal with compared to the dirt eating that people had to deal with in the past has declined significantly, especially in the last 100 years. So what's all the problem? Like, but the reality is, actually, most people are pretty happy. Most people would rather have some, like, they would rather watch The View and be mad about some tabloid bullshit than have to deal with cholera.
Right.
Right. Because that's why people don't march. That's why people don't go outside and start throwing shit.
They don't, like, have to anymore.
You have a few people that do it, but for the most part, people are like, no, I'm mad, and I really wish this particular part of society could change, but they're not going to go march on...
What's funny is most of the people that do march, they're actually not in the situation they're marching against.
Right.
They're marching for other people that they feel as though should be complaining.
And those people aren't marching either.
Yeah.
So you're marching on behalf... You're being offended on behalf of somebody. Which is weird. Okay.
But it's true.
It's a proxy offense. It's proxy offended. I don't get it, but... It's the way... I mean... The world's a pretty damn cool place.
Yeah.
It says also as global poverty has decreased by like 80-90% over the last years... In the last 200 years, the global population has, like, more than quadrupled. So if you're following normal numbers, then as poor people start to rise, but then their populations explode, then that wealth needs to be split among them so they continue to fall further into poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Continue to get better. More people can read, more people can write, more people can travel.
Right.
There's lots of shitty stuff, but it's not...
Yeah, there's an Oregon Trail going on. You know.
You just died of dysentery.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor, it's like, something hurts. These days, you go to the doctor and you're like, I think I'm severely ill. They look at you and be like, nah. Whereas back in the day, you're like, I think I'm severely ill. You're like, I don't know, dude, I'm a barber. Like... There's no comparison.
There's actually a scene in that stupid movie, The Ridiculous Six, on Netflix with Adam Sandler, where they go to this new town and they go to the barber, and the barber has this salve that he's using for every ailment. One of them has chapped lips, so he puts it on there. Another one has an infection on his ball, so he puts it down there. Another one has this, and it's the barber that's treating everybody with this. It's pretty much what it was before. There was no advanced medical technology. They just tried this. It worked for this. Let's go ahead and try it on this one.
Well, you know, a pretty gruesome fact. The barber.
Yeah, it's
the barber pole.
For bloodlettings.
It's for bloodlettings and, like, leeches and shit.
Yeah.
And they'll cut your hair, too. Jesus. Some nasty crap. So other than the Halloween movies, man, we've done a lot of Fresh Eyes. I can't do a Fresh Eyes on Halloween because I watch it, like, pretty much every year at least once.
We could do one on Season of the Witch, which I haven't watched that one in a while. I've got to find a copy of it, but
let's do it for an episode. Okay. Well, what's the weirdest thing you've seen recently?
The other day I was sitting at home channel surfing, and there's a movie on called Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter. But at least they had it right. It was the daughter of Dr. Frankenstein. And she traveled to the Old West for some unknown reason and was stealing corpses and had stole the corpse of one of Jesse James's friends and reanimated it. And it was just the weird. And I started thinking, there's a lot of really weird horror movies out there that we could check out that I haven't seen before. So I decided to go ahead and look a few up.
Zombievers. Zombievers. The weirdest-ass movie.
But I haven't seen them yet, but I have found weirder than Zombievers, believe it or not. For example, you ever heard of a movie called The Gingerbread Man?
Oh, yeah.
With Gary Busey? Have you seen that?
I've not seen it.
Yeah, I just found out about this one.
I've seen the picture of the cover. It's like a pissed off gingerbread man.
Yeah, pretty much. What the movie's about is Gary Busey is a crazed killer named Millard Findlemeyer. He commits a heinous crime, gets sent to an electric chair, gets cremated. His mother, who happens to be a witch, takes the remains and puts them in a box of gingerbread spice. Sends it to the family of one of her son's victims. They go ahead and they, not realizing what it is, one of the families goes to make some gingerbread cookies and in the process cut herself and spilled some blood in the batter. Put it in the oven for 30 minutes at 350 degrees and you have a pissed off Gary Busey gingerbread man coming back to kill people. And it just sounds just so overly the top ridiculous that I think I want to see that one.
Have you seen Krampus?
Yes. Yep.
So you remember the gingerbread man in the house?
Yeah. There's another one that I found which just sounds weird. Apparently this came out in the late 90s. But it's called a Killer Condom.
Do tell.
Where a gay detective named Luigi Macaroni is assigned the case of crimes at this hotel called the Hotel Quickie. Apparently, one of the male guests had their penis bitten off by something. Employing a young boy named Billy for help, he hopes to crack the case and have a little same-sex fun as well. Sadly, his prophylactic attacks him.
Is this not a gay porn?
No, it's not. It's just some weird gay-inspired horror movie called Killer Condom. Believe it or not, it said the items in the movie that are used, like the actual condom face itself, were designed by Mr. H.R. Geiger.
Nice.
There's just some outlandish shit out there, dude. And there's another one that I remember hearing about this one, so I want. Oh, here's another one. There's one called Killer Elevator. Where one day a seemingly normal elevator turns evil, systematically killing the people who ride in it. I would think after the first couple of dead bodies are found inside the elevator, people would just stop.
Yeah.
But apparently there's scenes where the elevator rips somebody's head off and stuff, and it's there's another one about a killer refrigerator that happens to also be a doorway to hell. These two people living in the 80s New York apartment, unknowing that they've inherited an icebox that is actually killer and a gateway to hell. An appliance starts to possess the couple. They both experience unsettling stupid dreams. The ending consists of a relatively sedate party which breaks out into murderous mayhem when the rest of the kitchen gadgetry goes on a killing spree. Low budget entry into the lunatic fringe with Kmart style special effects and amateurs acting.
Nice.
One thing about Zombievers, it was a goofy ass movie that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but it was fun, man.
That's the thing.
And these goofy movies sometimes are a lot of fun. And one for sure, Toxic Avenger is one of the goofiest fucking movies you'll ever watch. But I've seen it so many times. It is a fun movie every time I watch it.
Dude, the thing about Zombievers, honestly, I mentioned it about The Night Flyer. It's like, you know how a movie's good if it sticks in my head the next day. It doesn't necessarily mean it's like Oscar worthy, but it means it was well made. It just right. like I got a lot on my mind. So if whatever it is that you made is sticking in there, Like, I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. I'm not a critic, or I mean, I'm kind of a critic with the podcast, but no, I'm not. But Zombievers was cool in that, like, say, it was fun. It was compelling. And compelling meaning, like, well, podcast's over. I gotta go. Holy crap. That beaver just bit that dude's foot off. I'm gonna stand here and see what's next. And just, like scene after scene, like, it was just relentless. They wouldn't let it go. It was just, there was no downtime. And the gore was well done. The acting wasn't that horrible. I mean, even whenever the chick turns into a beaver, it's like,
yeah,
she's like screaming from the locked door, but she's also pounding her tail on the ground. You're like, this is ridiculous.
But it was, we watched it to the end. But we watched it till the end, dude.
We watched the after credit scene whenever the chick got hit by the car. Like, that was awesome. Zombievers, stupid. It's not Halloween by any stretch.
Oh no, but it's a fun. It's
but
a fun
it's watch. Hilarious.
Definitely a fun movie to watch. And just want to mention too, I forgot to mention earlier, Tales from the Hood Part 2 is currently on Netflix for streaming. It got really bad reviews when it was released on Blu-ray, so I guess they went ahead and jumped to Netflix already, knowing that they weren't going to sell a whole lot. I'm still going to watch it just because I love Rusty Cundiff, and I'm looking forward to. I've been wanting to see the movie for a while, so. But yeah, I've heard bad things about it. Keith David, love him to death. He just doesn't do the same for the role as the funeral director. But he's still a good actor. I'm still going to give it a watch, of course. They bring the dolls back. I'm not going to spoil it with some of the stories that I've heard from it, because I heard a very spoiler-type review on it. So I know pretty much everything that happens in the movie, but I'm still going to check it out. Anyway, so... apparently, there's a company called 4321 Productions that has a couple of movies that they came out with in 2003 and 2009. These just sound horrible. The first one is called Monsterd. Can you guess what it is?
Shit show.
It's a giant shit monster that attacks people. The other movie came out in 2009 is called Retarded. Retarded. Pokes fun at zombie films as the intellect serum causes massive side effects, turning the town into zombies. And of course, the zombies go from being fairly smart to retarded. There's just so many stupid movies out there. Here's a picture of the monster, by the way. That's, you can see most of them, but he's a giant poop monster with arms. Okay, this is what I saw that I had to bring up. This has got to be just a in the vein of a Leslie Nielsen type horror movie, I guess. Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
See, that probably has my attention.
It's a trauma type movie. You get a mix of chicken horror. This is the synopsis. A former member of the Ku Klux Klan, General Leroy, now owns and runs a fast food chain, American Chicken Bunker. His new store is located on a site that was the burial ground of Native Americans. He has leased his franchise to an African-American guy named Denny and has hired a Jew-hating, chicken-loving employee named Carl Jr., a burqa-clad Muslim woman named Hummus, a Mexican named Jose Paco Bell, and a guy named Arby, who is now called Daisy, amongst others. He attends the official opening of the store amidst protests from the local community, protesting the atrocities carried out on the chickens and the Indian burial grounds desecration. Watch what happens when Leroy decides to pacify the protesters with free chicken meat. So apparently the souls from the Indian burial ground, they possess the chickens and takes it from there. Poultrygeist.
Seems almost a little too offensive.
Trauma. A lot of trauma movies tend to be. But yeah, they try to push the envelope on that one. But yeah, those are just some of them. I need to get... You haven't seen Black Sheep yet, which is... I want you to see that one, because if you like Zombievers, you should love Black
Scary
Sheep. Yeah, it's the zombie sheep. And what I love about it is they actually use real sheep. And it's amazing how... the effect of a camera panned down a dark hall with a light coming out of a room. And you see this sheep, and I don't know if they tied it to it, but what they did is they just, the whole face of the sheep is blood red from blood, and there's a hand sticking out of its mouth. And the sheep just comes around the corner and just stands there staring at you. It's very effective. But they use, and what all they did is they took all these sheep and put blood all over them and have the flock running, jumping fences and shit. So it looks like these sheep are mad, rabid sheep trying to kill people.
That's awesome.
And, you know, they stick body parts in their mouths and everything, dude. It is the coolest movie. And just like Zombievers, you end up getting a hybrid of a sheep and a person. And it's a great movie. It's independent film out of New Zealand. It is really, really good.
So when I was a kid, this is kind of changing off, but it's like staying on the sheep. When I was a kid, you know, of course, the legend of Bloody Mary was...
Yeah.
Everybody knows Bloody Mary.
Or a variation of it.
Yeah. Well, this one was a variant of the same story, but it scared the bejesus out of me. Because Bloody Mary was like, okay, well, then all I got to do is not do that. Like, I got to not turn off the lights in a bathroom and spin around 3 times and say Bloody Mary, and then Bloody Mary won't come out of the mirror. So that's easy. Like... It's not like Jason Voorhees where he's just fucking there and
you don't have to call him. He's going to show up.
Like, but my buddy, God, we were like 10, 11. That's how effective his storytelling was, because I still remember to this day when he talked about Goathead. And Goathead was, he was some guy who was in the Civil War and he lost his head. And then he stole, like, he killed a goat and cut its head off and put it on his head. And he was Goat Head Man, which is like the Civil War soldier with the goat head. And then he killed a bunch of people and he finally got killed. But you could summon him if you smack your head 3 times and say Goat Head. And then he'll come and he'll take your head. And, like, same thing with Bloody Mary. It was like, okay, well, I just gotta not do that, right? But I also, that means I can't tell the story either. Because if you're telling the story properly, you'll smack your head and say it 3 times. And then he comes and gets you. And I remember laying in my bed, like 19 years old, just being like, if I am telling the story, don't do the smack thing. Like, yeah. Don't say his name. Like, that sounds frightening to me. Like, that's terrifying.
Have you ever seen the South Park episode where Satan was throwing his Sweet 16 party?
Oh my God.
Satan is throwing this huge party in California that he's billing as his Sweet 16 party, a Halloween party, where he's got a special cake that he sends Ted Bundy. There's 3 serial killers. Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and damn it, what's the third one? The one that dressed up like a clown, Gacy. He sends them to go pick up the cake. That's their mission. And they're like the Three Stooges. And they're doing everything, just like they end up ruining the cake and everything. But at the beginning of the thing, well, he sets up his party and it's invitation only. And it's, you know, all these people from hell are invited, all the important people and shit. And what the boys in South Park are doing is, it opens up with Cartman telling, you know, somebody, you gotta say it 3 times. And they're in the bathroom looking in the mirror. And one of them looks in the mirror and he goes, Biggie Smalls. Biggie Smalls, and he refuses to do it again. Well, Butters ends up going to the bathroom. He's by himself, and he says Biggie Smalls 3 times, and Biggie Smalls shows up. He's like, God damn it, white boy, why you called me over here? I'm supposed to be at the party. And so now Butters has to try to get Biggie Smalls to the party in Los Angeles. It's the funniest shit, dude. And Satan's costume is, he's dressed up like Britney Spears. It's the funniest thing, dude. And then Steve, at the party, there's somebody dressed up like Steve Irwin with the ray sticking out of his chest. And Satan's like, you're upsetting other guests. You're going to have to leave. And Steve Irwin's like, it's me. It's Steve Irwin. It wasn't anybody. He's like, what do you want me to do? It's me. But they don't have Bloody Mary. They got Biggie Smalls and they come. And he shows up and pops a cap in your ass.
Better than Goathead Man.
Yeah.
That shit scared the fuck out of me when I was a kid.
So another one that I want to see, which I heard about the other day, but I heard it's horrible, but it's one of those, it can be a good horrible, is called deathbed, the bed that eats people. Okay, so the way the story goes, a demon tried to seduce a woman by conjuring up a four-poster bed. She goes into a coma, it cries, tears of blood, and is possessed from now on. And this bed just kind of goes, it ends up in an abandoned home. People break into the home to have a little party and everything, some young kids, and the bed ends up terrorizing for the night and then killing them. But death bed. That's one that I want to see. Hey, have you heard that Bronzy's movie, the one that had showed at Texas Frightmare? The Charles Bronson lookalike guy? I heard the movie's awesome, dude, and it's blowing up. Yeah, people are fucking loving it. They say he does an incredible job in it, and he looks so much like Charles Bronson. It's unreal. So it was Death, what's it called? Death something. I'm going to have to look it up. But yeah, apparently the Bronzy movie's doing pretty well right now.
I'll have to check it out. The only thing from Frightmare, I remember we didn't get a chance to see the Toy Box, which should be out now.
We saw Ouija House. Yeah, Toy Box is out now.
We saw Ouija House, which was pretty freaking good, and Squirt Reynolds. Didn't see that one, but just, you know.
Well, this year I plan on planning it better to where we catch some more films and everything. And
we would have caught that. We just, like,
we were hungry and kind of wore out.
Hungry and loaded down with loot and had to go, like, drop off, and it was just how long the bus took.
Right.
Wasn't really our fault, but. If you don't have any more crazy movies, man, I think I'm going to, like, go ahead and turn in and get ready for some Halloween.
Okay. I think we could do that.
Got some more beer cans to clean up around here after the party. And, guys, thank you for another great year of Scary Dad Podcast. Realizing we started it 2 years ago, a couple months ago, but still, it's about time to go to that old iTunes store and give us a review.
Yep.
And, but seriously, man, thank you guys. We met so many great people. We're going to keep on keeping on. So until next time, guys, happy Halloween. Keep it scary.
Later.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next song. is Halloween. Everybody scream. Won't you please make way for a very special guy. Man Jack is king of the Pumpkin Patch. Everyone hail to the Pumpkin King now. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween.